Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Aren't you thankful for our fathers? I kind of debated this week about, you know, maybe having a special message for Father's Day. But then when I got to reading Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, it's all about our Heavenly Father. And so I can't think of a better Father's Day message than what you're about to read and see in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 is where we'll be this morning. We're preaching, for those of you that are guests this morning, visitors with us, I'm preaching through the book of Ephesians. Glory in the Church is the name of the sermon series, and we are moving. Jesus may come before we finish Ephesians. We've been in it several weeks already, but it's some rich stuff in this great book for the church. And but it is Father's Day, and I thank God for the earthly fathers. One of our fathers got called in to work this morning around 3 o'clock, 3:30, something like that, 4 o'clock. What time was it, Thomas? Anyways, Austin Peay's IT department needed Thomas, and he got up and came in and fixed whatever was wrong over at Austin Peay with their system. And here he is serving down here this morning, and he'll be here till 12:30. So it takes everybody working together, doesn't it? And if you have a Bible, let's all stand as we honor God's Word being read. I know we've stood up and down today, and that's all right. Ephesians 2, let me start there at verse 8. I'll give y'all another chance. For by
grace.
There you go. You have been saved through
faith.
And that not of yourselves, it is the
gift
of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we leave out verse 10, but this is powerful. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm grateful, so grateful for what God's doing right now. And we have people watching us from all over the country. And there's a young man I grew up with that's here today, and he lives in Murfreesboro, and he watches us and listens to us, and Blake's here for Father's Day. Blake Parks, ask God to just bless the word, would you?
Father God, we're just thankful and it's all today who you are. We thank you for this word. Father, we stand amazed.
Yes.
You prepared us beforehand for works to be done. We thank you this season. Father, we just acknowledge today that you are the answer. You are the answer for all of these things that are going on. So we just ask you today to honor that, let us honor this word as promised from you. Bring it today, Father.
Yes, Father.
Heart in this room, as we accept what you have to say today, walk out of here more boldly and courageous. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Blake. Please be seated. This is the Amazing Grace chapter in the Bible, is it not? And you know what? We love to talk about grace, don't we? Y'all, this is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. We love to sing about grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. I don't know what your favorite song about God's grace is, but we talk about grace. We sing about grace. We're grateful for grace. And so I want to talk about God's grace for a little while this morning, if that'd be okay. You know, grace is a gift, is it not? I mean, that's what the Word of God says right here in Ephesians chapter 2. For it is a gift of God. What does Romans 6:23 say? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, when he's talking to the woman at the well over there in John chapter 4 and verse 10, said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Grace is a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God, and we receive God's grace not just at salvation, but all throughout our lives. I'm so thankful for grace. And so God wants, and it just may be that God wants to give somebody the grace of eternal life in here today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe someone watching online would receive God's great gift of grace today. So let's take a look at this, and we'll just kind of unpack verses 8, 9, and 10 if we can get a little Holy Ghost help to help us do that today. First of all, the gift of God is something that he does for us. God's grace is a gift, and that gift is something that he does for us. We call that salvation. For by grace you have been saved. Have you ever tried to explain grace to somebody? Well, it's tough, isn't it? It's hard to explain grace. But it's very interesting here, the tense of the Greek verb here, you have been saved. This Greek verb is an action that's been completed in the past, but it has continuing results. Now, I know that doesn't mean an anthill to most of us in here, but what that means is simply this. Is that we have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. And we will be saved even from the presence of sin. Can I get a witness? I mean, that's wonderful, wonderful news today, that God's grace is a free gift and it's something that he does for us. Someone as well said that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And I would agree with that. There's a wonderful story about God's grace over in 2 Samuel chapter 9. I preached on this on Sunday night about a year ago here. And it's really a story of God's grace. David had just gotten to be king. And he had made a covenant promise with King Saul's son Jonathan. And Jonathan knew that David was eventually going to be the king, and he said, please, anyways, to make a long story short, I don't have time to preach that whole chapter, but the end result of that is David had promised to show kindness to someone in King Saul's family, specifically Jonathan's family. And so when David got to be king, he started asking folks everywhere. He said, is there anyone left in King Saul's family? Is there anyone left in Jonathan's family? And Jonathan, sure enough, although Jonathan and Saul's, most of Saul's sons have been killed in battle, Jonathan had a son by the name of Mephibosheth. Y'all remember. And Mephibosheth had been crippled at a very young age. He had been dropped, and to make a long story short, he was lame. He couldn't walk. And so David calls for Mephibosheth to come to the palace. And so they bring Mephibosheth to King David's palace, and David ushers him in and said, from here on out, as long as I'm king, you're going to sit down and eat at the king's table. Can you imagine? Crippled. No life whatsoever. And now his father, who was king, is gone. And this new king invites him into the palace and not just allows him to eat at the king's table, he gives him property where he and his servants can grow crops And it's an amazing story of God's grace, how David extended kindness to someone who didn't even deserve it. That's grace, you see. Mephibosheth didn't do anything to earn David's kindness and David's grace. And can I just go ahead and tell you today, that's the way God's grace works. We don't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't be good enough. We can't be righteous enough to get it. God just simply decides to give us a gift called grace. And it's something He does for us. Aren't you thankful that we've been saved by grace? Hallelujah. And so in His grace, God has given us a gift that we don't deserve. But that's not, let's unpack the rest of that verse. We are saved by grace through what? Faith. Through faith. And, you know, someone as well said, grace is God's hand reaching down towards us, and faith is our hand reaching up toward God. I like that, don't you? And John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. And I don't completely understand grace and faith and all that, and it's hard to explain it to somebody else, but I like to say that faith is belief plus trust. Believing is receiving. Now, you can receive without believing, but you cannot believe without receiving. You need more than just head knowledge when it comes to this thing called salvation. The Bible says even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? What you've got to have is not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge and experience, a life-changing experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just say that this morning, I mean, this thing called faith, they strapped a big cable to the very top of that G's Pancake House sign across Riverside Drive, and they strung that tightrope all the way to the pinnacle of this building over here. And then this guy shows up after church in tights, and he not only shimmies up the ladder over there and begins to walk across that tightrope, he carries a guy on his shoulders across that tightrope. And then he gets down from the roof here and he looks at Shan and says, Shan, do you believe that I can carry somebody across that tightrope on my shoulders? And Shan says, well, yes, I believe. I saw it. And then he says, would you get on my shoulders and let's go up there and cross over? And Shan says, well, wait a minute now. You see, that's where faith comes in, right? And that's the faith that we exercise in what Christ has already done. Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Not hope so, maybe so, might be. You will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so some folks are going to have all this knowledge up here, but they don't have what they need down here. And that comes through faith. And you cannot be saved unless you have exercised your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ by calling on Him to save you. Are we making sense now? And so we're saved by grace through faith. Y'all, we're just drawing honey out of this Bible beehive this morning. Y'all okay with that? All right. So we're saved by grace through faith, but we're not done. He says, and that not of yourselves. And that not of yourselves. Now, I got into a conversation about this very thing this week with someone. And they, you know, I just double dog guarantee everybody in here, I dare you to do this week. Get in a conversation with somebody and ask them if they're going to heaven. Just ask them, are you going to heaven? And you know what they'll say? Well, yes, maybe, or no. Okay? And so if they say yes or maybe, ask them, well, what do you think that it takes for a person to get to heaven? And 90%+ of them will say, you got to be a good person. You got to do more good things than bad things. And at the end of your life, this great God that we're always talking, he'll let you into his heaven. Oh, really? My Bible tells me that none of us deserve God's grace. None of us can work our way to heaven. None of us can be moral enough, good enough, righteous enough to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. We're just simply one beggar sharing with another beggar where the bread and the water's at. All right? We're all in need. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's kind of like three pilots, if they were to go down in a plane tonight out over the North Atlantic, and the plane went down, but all three pilots survived, and yet they're in the icy waters of the North Atlantic Ocean, 1,000 miles from land. Well, the first pilot, he's struggling because he doesn't know how to swim. And in a matter of a minute or two, he drowns. Well, the second pilot, he survives the plane crash in the ocean, and he's a good swimmer. And he swims for a couple of miles and then gets exhausted and he drowns. But oh, that third pilot, he was a gold medal Olympic swimmer. And this cat swims 50 miles, and then he drowns. You say, wow, he swam 50 miles. Yeah, but he drowned just like the other two. And that's our situation, brothers and sisters. None of us are good enough. None of us can merit God's great gift of grace. All of us are short of the glory. What we need is a divine rescue. Tell somebody Jesus is the rescue package. All right. You cannot swim your way, run your way, work your way, earn your way to salvation. It just doesn't work. And then he goes on to say, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if you've got a Bible with you, look at Romans 11, 6. Ellen will probably spoil y'all rotten and put it up on the screen. But Romans 11, 6 says, and if by grace, then it's no longer works. And you're talking about salvation. If it's by grace, it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it's no longer grace. Does that make sense? Otherwise, work is no longer work. And if you don't get that, get this. Flip left in your Bible to Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. You see, what we want to do is compare our righteousness with one another. We compare our righteousness to the Lord Jesus and his righteousness. Listen to what he says, verse 11. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. It's just hard for us to get it through our thick heads that God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need your help. He just simply gives us what we don't deserve. Salvation. A relationship with Christ Jesus. So Romans 3, 10 through 12 just shatters this belief that we can be good enough. But I just dare you to get in a conversation like that with somebody at work, somebody, anybody in town, and they'll tell you, well, I've been a good person. Or I try to do a lot of good things. Well, that's all wonderful, but the only problem is the Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6 that our righteousness is like a filthy rag. And that those words literally mean nasty, stinking, filthy underwear. Bible's crystal clear. Y'all with me so far? And so this great gift of grace is something that God does for us. Okay? We just simply receive it by faith. And then secondly, the gift of God is something he does in us. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Now, you guys, and especially you girls, are going to like this. The word workmanship is the word poema. That's our word for poem. In other words, what the Word of God's telling us is you are God's work of art. Wow. You're God's masterpiece. Girls, look at your guys and tell them, man, you are a work of art. It's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around that, but you're God's masterpiece. And what he's doing here is simply this. He is working. Once he does that work of salvation, he begins to work in you. Oh, you know, salvation is an inside job. Okay? And so he comes to take up and he begins to work in you. Now, did you know you've got 300 trillion cells in your body? Now, I can't even count, you know, to about 100, and that's about it. But you've got 300 trillion cells, and every cell in your body has these rod-like, rod-shaped things called chromosomes. And every chromosome has genes in it, genetic material. And in those genes, there's this other material called DNA. And there's enough information in one molecule of DNA to fill up 600 books of 1,000 pages each. You're God's masterpiece. You're not some garbage. You're not some accident. God created you for his glory. And once he saves us, he begins to work in us. Look at Philippians. Just turn right in your Bible, just a couple of pages. Look at Philippians 1:6. Fantastic verse for us. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, who begins the good work in us? God does. Will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What we're talking about there is simply this. What God starts, God always finishes. Whoo, that's a good word. Whatever God starts, he always finishes. And he is working on the inside of us. He's working in us. Romans 8:29 says that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, I may not look like much right now, but one of these days I'm going to look like Jesus. And you are too. Why? Because I'm somebody special? No, because God's working in me. And he's getting all this stuff out of me that he doesn't want there, and he's making me more and more like Jesus. There was this sculptor working on this huge piece of granite. And this little boy comes up, and he said, sir, what are you doing with that big rock? And he said, well, I'm making a sculpture, son. And he said, well, what are you making? And the sculptor said, well, I'm going to make a horse. And the little boy looked at him and looked at that rock and looked at him, and he said, how are you going to make a horse out of that big block of granite? And he said, oh, that's easy. I just start chipping away everything that doesn't look like a horse. And that's what God's doing with us. Right now, in us, conforming us to the image of his Son. And whatever God starts, God's going to finish. He's going to complete that work. When you leave here today, you go home and tell somebody, I'm God's masterpiece. I'm God's work of art. I'm God's poem. Isn't that wonderful stuff? And so the gift of God is something that he does in us. And then lastly, the gift of God, this thing called grace, is something that he does through us. We call that service. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, after God saves us, then we begin this life of good deeds and life of good works. We begin that. And there are three prepositions in verses 8, 9, and 10. And they tell us and provide for us a great example of what the Christian life is all about. Did you catch them? By, through, and for. The good works don't save us on the front end, but they do serve a purpose. You see, our good works point to the fact that God's working in us, and we have been saved by the finished work of Christ, and so we're working out our salvation through good works. That's why we do what we do here at Second Mile Church. That's why we do church ministry. That's why we feed folks. Amen, guys? That's why we take care and help sick folks. That's why we do MoCo Day. That's why we're planning backyard kids clubs. And that's why we're planning a kind of a mini vacation Bible school out at Kenwood. That's why we go visit the laundromat. That's why we do what we do. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so once God comes to take up, he works in us and he works through us so that others can see Jesus in us and want what we have. He's working. And as long as he's working, we need to work, right? And so, God's great grace and how he loves us, he just over and over again, has God's manifest presence showed up in your life this week? And you are ministering to someone or doing a good work or a good deed for someone, and all of a sudden you just felt all good, all under. Anybody know what I'm saying? And you know, it pays to serve God. Well, we had one amen. It pays to serve God. I mean, you get far more serving God than you ever do just sitting down. You know, I don't understand folks who all they want to do is sit, soak, and sour. We're here to serve, right? We're here to serve God and do the things that Jesus would be doing if he were here. Did y'all hear the story about this husband who had saved up for years and years and years and worked his tail off to buy his wife a lifetime gift at Christmas? And he tried to tell his wife, he kind of kept all that a secret because he'd been saving for years. And it was very expensive. And on Christmas morning, finally, after years of working like a dog and putting money aside, he gives her this beautifully little wrapped gift. And she says, oh, honey, this looks good. And she opens it up. And then, boom, there it is. A beautiful, shimmering, shining, drop-dead gorgeous, 3-carat diamond ring. My husband's never given me anything like that. Well, here's what she did. She's crying, and she's so grateful and so thankful for what her husband's done. She runs back to the bedroom, opens her purse, and gets a dollar bill out of her purse and comes back and say, oh, thank you, honey, here. Isn't that silly? Wouldn't that be silly? But that's exactly what we do when we say, Lord, here's my works. Here's my righteousness. Here's my goodness. I hope you'll be grateful enough to save me. That's what folks need to hear. It's not about us. It's about him. And maybe you're here this morning and you need God's gift of grace. Have you received that gift? When does a gift become yours? I think I did this last year with one of our little children up front. I got a $20 bill out of my wallet. And I said, and I held it out in front of her. And I said, when does this $20 bill become yours? Y'all remember what she did? She walked up and snatched it from me. And it was hers then. And it was a fight trying to get it back after the end of the service. But if you're here this morning, that's all that needs to be done. You just receive what Christ has already done. And if you're under conviction about sin, that's the Holy Spirit drawing you and wooing you. And He'll give you the grace that you need, and He'll even give you the faith that you need to be saved. And then this marvelous work of grace will begin working in you, and you'll be an expression of God's grace to others. And then, like we talked about last week, for all of eternity, you're going to be a trophy of God's grace. Let's pray together. Father God, how wonderful it is to know that you are on your throne. And you haven't left anything undone. And you know who is and who isn't yours this morning. You know who has received this great gift of grace, and who has believed this great gift of grace, and who hasn't. Lord, a lot of folks just got their name on a church roll somewhere, trusting in some baptism or some tithe or some good work. And you, Father, right now, I believe you're drawing someone to the cross right now. Help us to look to that cross by faith to be saved. And God, really, when it comes to doing good works as a point of proof of our salvation, all we've got to do is look at the cross and what Jesus did for us. Help us, God. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.